Welcome to The Rink, your source for hockey talk without the entitlement. I'm James Tapeleg Graylian. It's part two of my Two for Texas series, and I'm talking to James O'Brien from Cycle Like the Sedins. And we talk about, well, a lot of stuff. It's going to take a little longer than 8 seconds, but it's still The Rink. So I'm sitting with James O'Brien of Cycle Like the Sedins, a hockey blog, now on the Blogwin Network.
That's right.
Am I saying that right, Blogwin? Every time I look at it, it just seems so weird.
I would assume it's Blogwin just because it has the little penguin logo. But for someone who writes for Blogwin, I don't really have that much knowledge.
Do they even have a penguin's blog?
Oh, they actually do. They have two. They have Penn's blog is actually
That's right.
Blogwin. Yeah. They were the first one that I know of that were on Blogwin. And I can't remember the name of the other. There's another Pittsburgh blog on there. I think it's, it has a long title, but I don't remember exactly what it is.
I'm just so confused as to who's on what network and all of that. I don't have a network. It's just me.
I don't blame you. Like, I was just, for me, it was the change of scenery.
Yeah.
Getting a new, Blogspot itself has a very limited, visual appeal to it. It's very much for, just getting something out there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it certainly wasn't for money at all. So
that's always a good thing. Don't sacrifice just for the cash. And trust me, I know that. So the reason we're sitting here face to face having a couple of beers is we just came back from the Texas Brahmas hockey game. Texas Brahmas, of course, Central Hockey League. There's seven CHL teams in Texas. And this was only, your second minor league hockey?
I think it was my third.
Your third. Okay.
I saw the Oklahoma City Blazers quite a while ago.
Yeah.
Which was a very entertaining experience. Mm. I don't know if they could ever have an NHL team in Oklahoma City, but it is a very nice arena.
Oh, yeah.
Very large.
They're actually talking about getting an AHL team up there.
An AHL team?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And, but they're still not sure if that's going to play at the new arena or if they're going to go back to the old one.
Really?
Yeah. It's just money-wise, changing over from basketball to hockey and back and forth from minor league.
Oh, yeah. Money, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
But, and then you saw
the Corpus Christi, was it Rays?
Rays, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, tonight, kind of more of an intimate arena.
Much more.
Yeah, 2,300, I think, 2,400
something like
is
that.
What they carry.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the minor league experience?
Well, I have to say, of the three, that was by far the most fun.
Yeah.
By a long shot. just so much character in the fans there. I mean, it almost seemed like every person in the stands had a knowledge of the team and of the customs of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You pointed out the guys that
guys
that pulled off their shirts and did the old helicopter spin.
Yeah, and those weren't the guys that you want to see.
No.
Anybody wants to see do that.
When you hear about all the obesity rates in Texas, you get immediate knowledge of it from seeing the Brahmas.
Yeah, they're right there.
But I was stunned also to see how much of a legacy hockey has in Fort Worth.
Mm.
The one guy we were sitting next to was saying they go back as far as the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he might be right about that. I haven't done that much research about it, but, even to see a banner for like 78, 79, it's pretty amazing. I had no idea.
When you go to those places, in the minor league ranks and you find out how far back sometimes, the heritage of hockey goes, places like Huntsville, Alabama have a surprising longevity with hockey. You find out about these teams and that, who played where and for what. I was recently in Spokane and we went into a bar that happened to be owned by an old Spokane Flyers player.
Really? Flyers.
And there was a book there of Spokane hockey history, and it was like 150 pages thick.
Wow.
And it was going back to like 1820s, bit before. Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That is pretty incredible.
Well, and the thing is, we always talk about the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Our blogs always talk about the NHL. And there's a whole other hockey world out there. And the great part about it is it's dirt cheap. Our tickets tonight, $18.
Yep.
You know,
that's exactly
how do you, and how far were we from the glass? 10 rows, maybe. You know, and it wasn't the greatest angle, you know, we were blocked a little bit in the very far,
The corners,
but
usually when you get closer, a lot of times you'll lose spots in the corners.
Yeah.
Like Earl Sleek's seats, we would have to, certain corners, we'd have to look at the
General Earl from the Battle of California.
That's right.
Oh, Earl so Sleek. You sat in his second row,
right row next B's, to the row B's, right next to the penalty box. Yeah. Amazing seats.
Wow.
Hilarious at times.
I'm one of those guys who likes to sit back and see the whole play. And, and the play tonight was kind of interesting. I mean,
it was.
Defensive breakdowns certainly are a part of
every time hockey. In the beginning of the period, it seemed like there was a goal in the beginning of each period. I don't know about the first period because I was very late.
Oh, you were.
but it seemed like that, and out of the intermissions, there'd be at least a couple goals, maybe 3-4 goals in the early minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I think one of them came at 6 seconds into the third period, if I remember correctly. 6 seconds in, unassisted by the Brahmas. I should, since we're talking about the game itself, the Brahmas won 6-2 over the
Texas. I think it was 6-4.
Or 6-4, sorry. Yeah. Over the Arizona Sun Dogs.
Sun Dogs, okay.
Sun Dogs, yeah.
I knew it was Sun something.
Sun Dogs. there were 53 penalty minutes on 16 penalties handed out. There was only one fight-ish. And it was and that would and everything else was tripping, roughing, a few roughings, some cross checks here and there,
some sticking.
It was the woman who sat sitting in front of us who said that was sticking, right? That was high sticking. There's not really sticking. So that was a non-sticking penalty. That was when your goalie's lit up for 6 goals on 27 shots and they don't pull him. Yeah, they don't change goalies. Ooh.
A little sadistic.
I was wondering if maybe this was the backup goalie and they were just given, at that point they were like, well, screw it, we're gonna rest our regular guy or something. Who knows? It was definitely an interesting game. But it was fun.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. It was good. I mean, it wasn't the most skilled hockey at all times, but it was entertaining hockey. Yeah.
At this level of hockey, you can really see the play develop and also at the same time see the play break down when it does. And
that's, absolutely.
At this close. So I'm glad you had a good time.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely, I'm glad you had. Do you think you're going to go back?
I think I'll probably go back pretty frequently, to be honest. I mean, again, like the culture there was just unbelievable. The cowbells and the fact that there were other, not sporting events, but recreational type, there's an indoor soccer game.
Yeah. And they had volleyball.
Yeah. Very funny to see. I mean, it was a nice little arena, but very, very small and a lot of personality.
Mm-hmm.
They threw, what were they, little plastic bulls every time they scored a goal?
Brahmas.
Brahmas, of course, yeah.
Actually, when I first went to see the Brahmas, I had to, which was 2005 or 2006 or something, when they were still in downtown Fort Worth, I actually had to look up what a Brahma was.
I don't blame you.
And they still had the guys who took off their shirts.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a lot of those people have been there for a long time,
Yeah. I haven't, done a podcast since, the Winter Classic and I kind of wanted to talk about it with somebody and kind of get their impressions.
Absolutely.
And, see what, Boston Bruins. Philadelphia Flyers, it seemed like the most important part that everybody was looking forward to in this game was there going to be a fight?
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that kind of spectacle-ish?
Absolutely. The whole thing is a spectacle, though, so I guess
I guess so, but...
That's why you have the Flyers there, though, I guess.
Everybody talks about how big of a showcase it is for the league, and I think it's a better showcase in general for the league than an all-star game because you're actually at least getting a real hockey game.
Oh yeah.
But to me, and did you get to see the NBC coverage or the CBC coverage?
NBC.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of the NBC coverage?
Well, I find Mike Milbury detestable on a lot of levels. I mean, one of the worst GMs of all time. And right. Not just hockey. He really pushes Isaiah Thomas, you know? I mean, the fact that in that tri-state area they had Mike Milbury and Glenn Sather. Or is it Glenn Sather? It's Sather, right?
Sather, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you can go either way.
Wow, it's just so much incompetence concentrated in such a small area. Yeah. You know, and then they have Lou Paul Lou, mm-hmm. who's like the total opposite of them. He keeps, you know, churning out gold every year. It's just amazing. So Milbury, he rubs me the wrong way every time. Right. And Bob Costas, I get the feeling with Bob Costas that he feels above being there on some level. Like mm-hmm. he's almost laughing to himself at the game. You know? And I'm not one of those people who's really seriously has an inferiority complex about hockey. I mean, I know it's never going to be bigger than any of the big three, if not... NASCAR or anything like that. But I don't know. Maybe it's just the way I look at media in general. But Bob Costas, I just felt like there's a lot of smarm going on with Bob Costas.
I kind of get the feeling whenever he talks about hockey or he's having to deal with a hockey game, that he wishes he were Al Michaels and had been there for the Maple Leafs. But, you know,
It's too bad Al Michaels couldn't do it. I like him a little more.
Yeah, and you know the other problem, of course, was the mistakes he made, like saying that Phil Esposito wore number 77. That was Ray Bourque.
That's bad.
Yeah,
that's a famous moment in Boston Bruins history.
And the other thing was they had the shields of retired numbers, and they're panning across them, and he says 77, and they're showing clearly it's a 7. It's just 1 7.
At least he didn't get Bobby Orr's number wrong.
Thank goodness.
That would have been horrifying.
Thank goodness. Yeah,
he'd have to get kicked out of hockey, like anything to do.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby Orr, number rhymes. 44.
Oh, God. Yeah. Don't do it. Oh, man.
So the game, I think, was generally kind of panned as a snoozer for the first while, you know.
For the most part. I thought it started out with a good pace, and then the middle was pretty weak.
Mm-hmm.
The ending was fantastic, though.
Oh, it was.
Very good hockey.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, like, the ice was pretty good, and it seems like they're perfecting what they could put a good product on. I mean, on some level, I don't know if there's really been a Winter Classic that was a great game.
Mm-hmm.
The Penguins-Buffalo Sabres game wasn't a fantastic bit of hockey.
It wasn't, but the thing that I found with that game was that you were so fixated on, okay, what's going to happen, that you didn't mind that it was a little slower pace, or that... You know, maybe it wasn't the greatest hockey in the second, you know, and that, you know, there was a wide spread, just like this game, between the goals.
Yeah.
So, you know, and also the fact that they scored right away in that Sabres game helped out that with the fact that, you know, okay, what's going to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to, you know, this one, the third Winter Classic, the fourth outdoor since the Heritage Classic.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that, we were expecting a little bit better, and maybe even because of the Red Wings Blackhawks game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or am I just talking out my butt here?
No, I mean. I think that, but even the Chicago-Detroit one, it probably was the most fun to watch of those games, but the fact that the score got that lopsided, I think, took a little air out of the balloon.
Yeah.
I do think that, at least for me, New Year's Day, I'm usually not necessarily in the most focused state of mind anyway. I mean...
Are you a go out and party?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to.
So. Well, you have. I do not. Actually, I don't. I was flying solo that night, but at the same time, it's just, middle of San Antonio. I was like, ooh, I'm getting home and staying away from amateur night down on the Riverwalk. Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah.
People falling into the...
People shooting off guns at midnight.
Yeah,
all that kind of thing. It went to overtime. Bruins went into overtime.
Yep.
That was phenomenal.
Fantastic ending.
The questions that I have are, NBC and their coverage, they really seem to focus more on the features. Mm-hmm. You know, they're little scripted features and stuff like that. Do we need a more hockey-centric type of production, like mm-hmm. like what the CBC does.
Yeah.
Or do we need something like this? Because I don't think that the, you know, when you get to the Super Bowl or, you know, you get to the NBA Finals or whatnot, I don't think that they act as, okay, this is what icing is, or you know, they don't get as, I don't know, amateur. I'm probably not describing it the best.
No, but I think I kind of get. Yeah. Are you saying,
is this what we need, or do we need something a little more geared for hockey fans that are tuning in too?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, the Winter Classic is an opportunity for half fans and non fans to get into the action.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at least when you're talking about explaining rules,
yeah.
You know, you look at football and they don't really handhold, you know, even if, you know, they don't really explain the rules that much.
Right.
It's very, the football broadcasts are very nuanced in a way, like you'd say with CBC, they assume, mm-hmm. you know, and I think you learn, you know, whether you get into hockey from video games, that's a way, as silly as that might sound, it can teach you quite functionally what, you know, what offsides is and that kind of thing.
True.
But, you know, kind of going, branching off of NBC, you know, my main problem with NBC is just, well, you know, in the matchup they chose, you know, they obviously went for the big markets, you know, combined with Fenway Park, which is, you know, it's a pretty cool idea.
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily that different from Wrigley Field, which is what, you know, a lot of people were complaining about, but I mean, you know, and I'm not by any means the first person to say this, but it's so obvious they need Alex Ovechkin in that event. I mean, it just seems like, just like, how has it taken this long, even though there's only been three American, you know, outdoor games that, I mean, from my perspective, you know, I think NBC needs to focus on stars too, not just markets.
Yeah.
And I think I'm sure the NHL had a lot to do with the decision of the teams to play in it, but I think if they don't get Ovechkin in the next one, that would be almost shameful.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a great way to show casual fans. He's like a human video game. I mean,
he's
fun. Recklessly hits, he scores. I've never seen anyone that could score all over the ice like Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah.
And this is a Penguins fan talking. But I mean, every time he skated down the, you know, the slot, I was terrified of what he was going to do. And I think he could be a great, you know, and just that team in general, even if he was injured, the Capitals play a wide open style that I think would really hook a lot of fans that are, you know, sort of in that latent period and could become fans.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of sort of lapsing hockey fans out there. And actually, you know, I thought I'd throw this out there. You know, I've been saying for a while, like, I don't know why Versus has to be the only cable partner. I don't know if they have an exclusive agreement.
I think that they do kind of, yeah.
I imagine they do. I don't see why, you know, the NHL wouldn't maybe look into, I mean, you look at the NBA, they have ESPN and TNT.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, TNT has their great, very, very colorful, like, you know, Charles Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
A fantastic show. But ESPN has a little more straightforward, you know, just get to the basketball. And I think that works really well. I would love to see a bigger network take one game a week for hockey.
Right.
Like, I've talked about, like, ESPN2 taking, like, a Thursday night hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think hockey needs stumble upon factor. Like, you're not going to stumble on Versus. In fact, finding Versus for some people is like looking for a needle in a haystack. Oh, yeah. I mean,
and sometimes that needle doesn't exist if you're on DirecTV.
I was going to say, you know, one thing I don't know if anyone's talking about is that, yeah, it's people are complaining now,
mm-hmm.
but what about the playoffs? I mean, are they not going to get an agreement by the playoffs? I think that could get pretty ugly.
Yeah, supposedly. And this is supposedly,
mm-hmm.
and obviously we're talking, you know, basically 2 months away, is they're saying something in place by March,
which,
you know, I don't know how you negotiate for March. That seems a little weird.
Yeah, there's no
And of course, what are we looking at now? Comcast possibly buying NBC.
Yeah.
You know, and that, and what's that, you know, and owning more networks. So mm-hmm. is that really going to make things better in their negotiation with DirecTV? I kind of doubt it.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I heard about
you
Fox.
You have a really good point, though.
What's that?
You have a good point about the stumble upon factor, mm-hmm. and that you know, not only with, I mean, if you have that tier of programming, which you mm-hmm. know, for the NHL Network, you might stumble across it. And you know, there is the possibility that you might stumble across something like a Versus, mm-hmm. you know. But if you have something that, you know, something like a USA Network,
that's exactly TBS. I've heard a lot of people talk about USA.
Yeah,
I think, well, it's pretty widespread.
USA, unfortunately, is, I think it's owned by ABC, and that's ESPN, and blah blah blah, and down the line. But I do think you're dead on that. Yeah, that's a good point about the stumble upon factor. And if more people could just, you know, channel surfing, find hockey,
exactly,
stop and watch, yeah, and stay with it, especially in HD.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's amazing how much of a difference it makes.
There was a lot of people have been talking about the you know, attendance issues that some places have mm-hmm. had, and I think I said it before, I'll say it again. If I would totally not go to the rink for an NHL game for 2 years.
Yeah, I read that.
If that meant the difference between that and not having an HD TV and having an HD TV,
oh, yeah,
I'd do that, you know, completely.
Oh man,
it's just amazing how it looks.
I mean, I get angry when Stars game, like, I won't, I feel bad about it, but I'll usually change the channel if a Stars game is, I've gotten that much, and that's HD snobbery at its worst.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, imagine my situation where, you know, I'm on the road all the time, and I watch on my laptop when mm-hmm. I can, and it's like sometimes, I mean, today's Avalanche game looked horrible in the highest one, you know, but, you know, and so I had to dumb it down, and here I'm dealing with, what, like a 6-inch by 4-inch picture, maybe, if I'm lucky.
It was horrible. The thing with center ice, mm-hmm. I think that is one of the areas that has a lot of room for improvement.
Mm.
Because I don't know if you've ever had the chance to compare and contrast like the standard on center ice versus like NHL Network.
Mm-hmm.
But NHL Network, whatever feed they have, well, however they feed it in, I don't know the specifics. It looks good. It looks, you know, like it should. But on center ice, it looks like they, I don't know.
You never know what you're going to get.
It's like blurry. Mm-hmm. And I think the NHL really needs to, I think the NHL can do to improve its place in the world. Or just, like, for me, it's not like, I feel like with hockey, a lot of people try to make it something it's not. Mm-hmm. But I think you need to enable the people who want to spend money on it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of something I thought about before, but not quite put into those terms. Mm-hmm. Is that the NHL? We all know that they kind of focus on trying to get new people in the door, mm-hmm. and I can understand that when you're the, you know, essentially the number five sport at this point. You know,
yeah, probably NASCAR's at best
going. Yeah, and here, you know, I can understand them wanting to, you know, bring in new, you know, new fans, but at the same time, you're right, they do kind of take away and not enable. People keep talking about, you know, you're a blogger,
mm-hmm.
People talk about web 2.0, you know, obviously it's passe at this point, you know, web 2.0, the interesting thing I heard was web 3.0 is going to, really need to go there yet, but web 2.0 was about content, and web 3.0 is going to be about people having content how they want to experience it, mm-hmm. rather than how you want them to. So
yeah,
you know, aside from, you know, easy formats, put it on your phone, all of that stuff. Yeah. It's just, you know, how do you want to experience it? And mm-hmm. kind of, and the NHL kind of needs to, I think you're right, needs to look at it that way and say,
exactly,
hey, we want our fans to be able to experience, you know, this. We want to make it easy for our fans to experience
exactly
the NHL any way that they can. Great example, tonight's hockey game, mm-hmm. the Brahmas.
Yep.
I called ahead and said, hey, what's your camera policy? And they said, do what you want. You know, yeah. Bring in what you want. Who cares? And the Laredo Bucks were crazy about cameras.
Oh, really?
You know, you can't bring in professional cameras. You know, and some of them I understand, but they were looking at my camera, which looks a little more professional, but still yeah. point and shoot and this and that. And two people, you know, were like, "Oh, you can't bring that in." Oh, you know, I wound up being able to, but it took explaining. And really, what's the point?
Absolutely.
I understand copyright issues, but I'm not, you know, people aren't going to be selling the pictures.
No.
It's not substituting for going to a game. And what it is experiencing the game and finding out about the game in a way that other people want to.
Absolutely.
Rather than, yeah, so you have the Brahmas here, and they're like, hey, do what you want.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm going to put the pictures on the blog, and people can see it and find out about a whole nother experience of hockey. And where are they going to find out that the Texas Brahmas exist and there's good hockey and it's an interesting venue and stuff like that? And what, and the Laredo Bucks, they're going to sweat all of that. And maybe the NHL is kind of in that same boat, that they're acting more like
absolutely.
The Bucks at this point. They
and
shouldn't.
Really, I mean, the NHL, you know, I understand the struggle, both sides of the struggle, because I do have some journalism background in that. There are probably some bloggers with access that might have some damaging effects from a franchise's standpoint in that, I mean, I'm not sure if you're familiar with a cut. Oh man, I'm blanking on the Oilers blog for some reason.
Covered in oil.
It was covered in oil. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sure you heard a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah.
Basically,
I read about
he got, you know, kicked out for writing a very negative and at times funny, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
live
I think
blog.
That part of the issue was the language that he was using.
Yeah.
He was swearing a bunch and stuff
he
like
was,
that. Yeah.
And I can understand that. Like, I was a little mad at the time, especially because I, you know, I loved Covering Oil. That was one of the blogs that got me into blogging. They had a very irreverent style. I don't know if that would that seemed almost like a Beatles of blogging, the Oilers playoff run. Like, those bloggers made that team so much more interesting than they probably had any right to be.
It was the whole, the oilogosphere.
Oh, yeah, oilblogosphere.
I feel like every time I say that, I'm drunk at the time. God, it's just the weirdest thing was that, like, a couple of years later, it was just...
It's gone. It's a ghost town. There's a couple of good ones now, but they're more like a regular
Battle
hockey team.
Battle of Alberta. It's just all they talk about now is the occasional news on the...
Flames, basically.
Or the new Oilers arena.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's about it. Yeah, it's sad. It's almost like the mighty have fallen in a way.
Yeah, no, it is. There's quite a few of them. It's good to see that Battle of California is still going strong.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe better than ever.
Yeah.
At least from that, they have a full-time... It seems like they have full-time sharks now, too.
Mm.
And they were always sort of like hit or miss with sharks. Like, when the shark writers would write, it was really good.
Right.
But now, I think Mike Chen is writing, like, game day posts every day.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it was PJ, right?
Yeah, PJ Swenson.
Mm-hmm. And I met PJ, and PJ's a great guy, and definitely props to PJ in that, you know, if he turned me on to a couple of things in camera wise taking pictures wise that
not
really
surprising.
Helps me.
Yeah, he's a great photographer.
He's incredible. He's a really nice guy. Really
he seemed like
nice
I didn't
guy.
Get to meet him though.
You should, if you get a chance, you should. But it's too bad about it. And you know, here's the Oilers now, and I'm not going to say that blogging is always better when your team is down, but I'm sure that there'd be some really interesting stuff on Covered in Oil if they were still.
Oh yeah, it's more fun when your team's in the playoffs, obviously. But I think it shows, like Rudy Kelly and a lot of other like bloggers for bad teams. If you can write every day something interesting about a bad team, that impresses me more than, you know, a good team.
Yeah. Well, he must be struggling now because they are a good team right now.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
They look like they have a lot of promise.
Actually,
I don't know if this would be all pure speculation, but the Ilya Kovalchuk situation is kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah, Kovalchuk.
I mean, I've heard, you know... I don't know. I wrote about this on the blog in a kind of an angry and immature little post that I wrote. sort of like
cycle like the Sedins.com.
Yeah, at Reaganomics, how Reaganomics only works for sports, And I wonder if Kovalchuk is to blame for the fact that his team has never won a playoff game. I know he hasn't had great teammates.
Right.
But, you know, if you ask the Falconer on Birdwatchers Anonymous, I mean, he's very negative about Kovalchuk's defensive skills. Like, he seems, you know, to never back check,
right,
more or less. And
well, you know, who else can be accused of that often is Ovechkin.
But, oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, when I'm in my more angry Penguins fan mode, I'll bash Ovechkin for that.
For lollygagging.
Well, you know, it's just the Sidney Crosby stuff. I think people are right about him, but I think that blame should be spread a little more evenly across, you know, all players. I mean, Evgeny Malkin benefits from playing against lesser defensemen, and, you know, Ovechkin has his defensive liabilities.
Right.
I think if people focused more on the fact that all three of them are incredible and just enjoy that, they'd be a lot happier.
Well, here's, you know, looking at Kovalchuk's stats right now, he's on pace for 51 goals.
Wow.
And he's broken, let's see, he's gone 52 twice. And I was hearing stats recently about the percentage of goals that he's had of his team.
Oh, it's got to be ridiculous.
It is. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Like a quarter, probably.
And then the other thing that was said to me, because I actually said I was on a Puck Daddy live blog, and only one person kind of came back at me. I said, I think, well, Kovalchuk's a little overrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing that came back was, you know, what about the goaltending? They've never had good goaltending. Well,
until this year, a little bit, actually.
You know, they've had guys that they could have worked with and they didn't, you know, I'm sure. And what's his butt?
Kari Lehtinen.
Mm-hmm. A big problem with him was his conditioning.
Injuries, well, too. Yeah.
Injuries, yeah.
I guess those two go hand in hand, though.
Sometimes, yeah. I'm sure different bodies and all that, but, you know, whose fault is that? Yeah, that's Kari Lehtinen's, but, yeah, you know, it's also not like the Thrashers didn't have him for a long time in their system, so, you know, they could have worked with him on that.
Kari Lehtinen's had about a million chances.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
he might not ever work out unless he leaves Atlanta.
No, he won't. I don't think he'll work out anywhere. I think that his time has come and gone. But, you know, the big knock, I think, on Kovalchuk right now is four playoff games.
Yeah.
One goal, one assist.
And those were horrible. That was a
shutout by the Rangers.
That was one of the most one-sided series in a long time.
And where was he? You know, I mean, one goal, one assist.
Yeah.
And you're the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
And exactly. And they had Hossa on that team, too. So it wasn't a horrible team.
No.
Kachuk, Hossa, Kovalchuk. Could be worse in the East.
A lot.
It wasn't like that New York team was overloaded with talent.
No, didn't they?
They were on a hot streak. I think that was the Jagr era still.
I think that they exited the playoffs the next round.
Yeah, I think New Jersey maybe. Or was that?
God, I don't know. I'm not even going to look it up.
That's a blurry memory right there.
Ooh,
but that was a brutal series.
Yeah.
Brutal. I mean.
When you're shut out like that, that's just.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, here he is. My problem with what people are saying about Kovalchuk right now is that you're talking about a guy who's supposedly demanding a lot of money. We don't really know.
It sounds like he is, though.
What team is he going to help out as being a $10 million player?
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, Ovechkin, he's, you know, he could accuse the same thing. And, you know, look at how many high-dollar defensemen that they have on, you know, on the Capitals. And that's one, I think, you know, Mike Green, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, what team is going to be able to afford Kovalchuk and then give you any, you know, be able to afford anybody on their blue line?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard Boston thrown around a little bit, and that could be interesting.
They're up against the cap already right now.
They are. They do have, you know, those Toronto draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
So what they could do is restructure their team around maybe Savard. They probably have to let Chara go with his $7 million.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't do it, but I'm just saying his contract's coming up pretty soon. I think he's got one more season after this one.
But yeah, you can't. I mean, Savard, obviously, since they gave him.
He gave them a real sweetheart deal, too.
Yeah.
I was shocked that he went for that little.
Yeah, Chara has one more year at $7.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. But, you know, if you could I don't think he's going to give a hometown discount, but
no.
Would you give him up? I mean, that
I'd rather have Chara than Kovalchuk if it came down to it.
Having a solid defenseman is, I mean,
there's very few that are at that level.
I would try and rather get rid of Weidman, but that's just me.
I thought that was a horrible deal. He was a contract year guy.
Yeah. And Derek Morris is going to come off the books next year at 3.3.
That was such a strange signing, by the way.
He was with the Coyotes before.
Yeah.
And before that, he was with the Avalanche. Yeah. Because it seemed like the Coyotes were just getting Avalanche
defensemen. They loved the retreads.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Oh, we're done with him. Go ahead and take him. You know? Okay. If you guys want him, go for it. Yeah, I don't know where he'd really fit in at that.
Maybe the New York Islanders? They've got plenty of cap space.
They do, but I think, you know, as cursed as that team seems, I mean, that's just one of those places where...
He'd be Yashin 2.0, so you're much. Saying?
Well, at that money, yeah. I mean, if you were to take him down, knock him down to 7, mm-hmm. or only give him a 3-year deal at 10, you know, and be able to work with him after that, because... Or get rid of him after that.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody wants high dollar, you know.
Well, they want lifetime contracts now.
And it's like, why would you? I mean, obviously somebody's going to offer it to him.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's He's going to get his money. Yeah.
But it just doesn't seem like a good idea.
I don't think Atlanta should do it. That's for sure. Because, I mean, if they're doing that poorly with him, attendance wise, they have nowhere to go but down.
People keep saying, if he leaves, what's going to happen to the franchise? What's happened to the franchise now?
Exactly.
Man.
I mean, they are kind of in a catch-22, but, my whole thing, I'm kind of a salary cap savant in a lot of ways, and I think all those lifetime contracts are horrible.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean to bring up the name on my site, but, like, the Sedins might be the only ones that could live up to a long contract.
How long did they sign for?
Oh, God, I don't know about that. I think only in, like, the six-year range. Wow. Which just, it's unbelievable that, but I mean, I think athletes need a carrot hanging, you know, that carrot dangling in front of them to play that well.
Mm-hmm.
You look at like Timo Solani's career, pretty much since the lockout, he's gone either 2 years or 1 year in all of his contracts.
Yeah.
And he's sort of defying age, although this year it's kind of fallen apart, but.
Let's see, the Sedins look like they're signed till 2014.
No, that's not.
So that's not as bad as I thought.
That's why they're still playing motivated hockey, I guess.
I guess.
But I don't. Kovalchuk with a big long contract, never gonna have to worry about another contract again. I don't know if I'd want that on my team.
No, I don't blame you.
He is sensational. Don't get me wrong. His talent is. I mean, he's not as good as Ovechkin, but it's not. At least offensively, he's amazing to watch. You know, but you know. If a blogger for your team is calling out your defense,
well,
like that,
yeah, you know, I would take I take any of that with a grain of salt because I was pretty angry at Brett Clark for a while, know, and I still don't understand why everybody wants John Michael Lyles to be traded.
Yeah, he's hated. He seems like he's the ultimate punching bag there. Yeah.
And to me, it just seems odd, of all the guys, Joel Quenneville started asking him to play more defensively, he starts playing more defensively and rather than an offensive defenseman, and everybody got mad at him for not putting goals in. Well, you know, it's kind of, it's not, you can't have everything out of the same guy, so, you know.
There's certain players that just have to be the punching bag of their team, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Lyles seems like he's been that. I was kind of surprised he re-signed with Colorado, but it seemed like there wasn't much of a market for him, I guess.
I don't think so. And maybe, you know, I mean, they lost Jeff Finger.
Oh, that was one of the funniest ones of all time.
Oh, my God. And Jeff Finger's still one of my big goats for he lost his he was in the defensive zone, he loses his stick and basically was just skating back and forth, didn't know if he should go to the bench, try and defend, go to the bench, defend, and then somebody skates him right past him and scores. And I'm just watching the guy, and they literally had like a camera between him and the goal facing right at him, and there was just like this look of confusion as to what do I do? Go, just go. Just man,
who would have thought Jeff Finger would get that contract?
Four million a year, I think it was.
I think it was $3 million a year, but it was still like, who is this guy?
He, you know, and that's the thing with, you know, we're talking about a salary cap that is, I mean, it's beneficial to UFAs. We know that. Mm-hmm. And everybody thought that, you know, this was going to be a cap that would save the owners.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't happened yet.
No, they're so reckless.
Yeah. $3.5 million. So we were both kind of right and both kind of wrong. We were right in the middle there.
Jeez, that's wow.
Yeah. It just seems like, well, I mean, the owners are, you know, we're looking for a way to save themselves. And they didn't.
No.
It's a, how many. Yeah, we've got the Phoenix situation. We've mm-hmm. got you know, Florida is dicey.
Yeah, really dicey.
You know, there's no guarantees out there.
No. Florida, I'm surprised isn't, you know, that they're not in a little bit more trouble, to mm-hmm. be honest. I mean, have they missed it 8 years in a row?
Something like that. Yeah, it's been bad.
That's tough for a non-traditional market.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, and you know, Chicago is the shining light that, mm-hmm. you know, but it took the owner's death to finally turn that it around. And,
you know, good draft picks. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Kane and Taves.
You could have Kane and Taves as draft picks, but mm-hmm. you know, in the old management and old ownership, they'd be gone as soon as they were going to be a contract year.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Chicago's spending to the limit, but they're earning to the limit too because they have TV.
Well, that
finally.
Huge arena too, isn't it? It's like selling almost 21,000 or something crazy.
It's selling like mad, and that's, you know,
it's great to see more awesome. More of the big traditional teams being
it's,
good.
It's
is a
great
thing
to see until the Avalanche have to face them in the playoffs.
Oh boy,
and then I don't care anymore.
Yeah, that team is scary. I mean, I picked the Sharks actually to win the Cup this year, and mainly. Again, I'm a little weird about contract years, and they have Nabokov, Marlow, Pavelski, and I believe Setoguchi.
Nabokov, really?
Yeah. Wow. He might not be a Shark after this year, which is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And mysteriously, he's having his best year in ages.
Yeah. Well, go figure, yeah.
Contract, but, I, you know, that talent...
Hey, Jose Theodore played pretty well before he signed for the Caps, so...
Oh.
Yeah,
Theodore. I laughed so I was like, "Oh, good. That'll keep the Capitals from being too scary."
Oh man, that was. And now they have Varlamov,
who's and just got a lot of promise.
Oh, that series against the Penguins last year.
It was intense.
You're a Penguins fan. Yes. You must have been just.
It was nerve wracking.
I could imagine. I wouldn't have any fingernails left. I'd just be.
Yeah, it was scary. I mean. I felt like the Penguins were the genuinely better team.
Yeah.
And I think it showed in Game 7 that they wore... I think they wore the Capitals out, and Varlamov had a horrible game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's odd with the Penguins is that they've... You know, you see Crosby, Malkin, Gonchar, and you assume they're an all-finesse team. But with Bylsma, you know, and they added Matt Cook... You know, on the off season before that, and traded for Kunitz and got rid of Ryan Whitney. Thank God, he's horrible.
Yeah,
and that team, it's pretty tough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a pretty tough team now. I mean, they're gonna always have to walk the salary cap tightrope, though.
Yeah,
I mean, they're set up now, which is basically, you know, pay their centers ludicrous amount of money, get really cheap veteran players. So that's mm-hmm. what they're gonna have to live with.
I think but that also sounds like the model that they're, you know, they're kind of going with mm-hmm. on the island.
Yeah.
You know, you've got these older guys that are, you know, on their last legs, and they're getting, you know, they'll sign wherever they can, you know, Doug Weight included.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have some solid centers coming up in some of the rookies,
yeah.
and they're going to be asking for money. And it almost seems like the exact same thing.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, Tavares has some parallels to Crosby. Nowhere near as talented.
No, but, no.
I you know, and on some odd level, I'm kind of intrigued by what the Islanders could do if they get a few breaks. Because Garth Snow really stockpiled a lot of draft picks over the last couple of years, and
yeah,
I think he's sneaky good. I don't know. We'll see.
I wonder how. You know, it's funny because when he first started. everybody wondered if he was just going to be a puppet for Charles Wang.
Yeah.
And I wonder what the reality is of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was strange, but I think people, yeah, he might like the, you know, I wrote a post about this too, but DiPietro, you know, obviously it hasn't gone well.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a trailblazing signing. I mean, the league has copycatted that a lot, and it's mocked a lot, but that's really because he got hurt. When you look at the level he was playing at when he got the contract, it was pretty much a reasonable contract. I think DiPietro got them into the playoffs.
It was a reasonable dollar amount.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the length is stupid.
Well, he's $4 million for, if you're really a number one goalie in this league, $4 million is a very tradable contract.
Oh, yeah.
If, you know, okay, he's going to get $4 million for until he basically retires from the league, but you could easily say, okay, I need a $4 million number one goalie, and if he would act like he was talented enough to do that, you could shop him if you needed to.
Oh yeah, I think if he had, you know, 1 year where he showed he's healthy, you know, maybe a place like Dallas would be good, because I don't think Turco is going to be there much longer.
Yeah, and how much is, you know, who's in the wings?
Man, the cupboard's bare in Dallas. Yeah. I mean, they gave up Mike Smith for Brad Richards. I thought that was a horrible trade.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely wasn't. I mean, it was kind of a future is now, and then it turned out the future wasn't at all.
No.
Nothing was now.
No, that team is very... Tom Hicks, the owner, he's kind of known for, you know, not being very decisive as an owner, and I feel like that trickles down in the organization for the Stars, and they don't really have like a clear direction. You look at their roster and it's sort of a ragtag. Like,
are you saying that Sean Avery was a bad sign?
You already have Steve Ott does everything Sean Avery does without as much fanfare.
Yeah,
I mean, they're both jerks.
Yeah,
I mean, Steve Ott is a little more, you know, dirty hitty. I don't know if Avery really was known for, you know, boarding people and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think he did a few times here and there.
I'm sure he did, but not anywhere near. Steve Ott is a suspension waiting to happen. He reminds me a lot of Matt Cook. I'm sorry. You know, I think teams need that guy though. They need like the despicable, you know, Claude Lemieux type. Like, I think that's what the Sharks were missing and still are. Although I guess Danny Heatley's kind of despicable. He doesn't do the same things.
A despicable guy, character, but he's not. But he doesn't do. Nah. Yeah, he doesn't do despicable things.
Yeah,
unless, you know, unless it's the business, unless it's, you know, to the Sharks.
But yeah, I mean, the Stars just—they're kind of a mystery. Yeah,
yeah. I remember the. Some of the times when Turco would really own a game and then fall right the heck apart. And man, he is, I don't know, he's a guy that you really would have expected that betting the franchise on would have paid off a little better. And unfortunately it didn't.
No. I mean, they gave him a really big contract and he's just been up and down. He's kind of a head case.
Yeah. Man.
And I wonder what his career is going to be like next year.
I don't know. I don't know if he...
Yeah. He'll be in the NHL, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe Dallas will just keep him with a pay cut or something.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think Alex Auld is the answer. He's actually a pretty good backup.
But... Who would have thought that Rolison and Biron would be trading off, you know, number one Bs, basically. You know?
Yeah.
And both be on the island. It's just, So it's hard to tell.
It's crazy. I mean, goalie, you know, like Manny Fernandez not even having a job, it was pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah. I wonder.
You'd think he'd at least get to be a backup somewhere.
Somewhere. And when...
Especially when...
Manny Legacy was... Well, when Manny Legacy signed with Carolina, I just thought to myself, really, we're going with Legacy over Manny Fernandez?
I know. Like, I heard something about him being hurt, but...
About...
Fernandez being like hurt. He was pondering retirement, maybe, but...
Maybe from sitting on a sofa and eating chips. I don't know. That's probably all he's been doing. He was probably watching the Winter Classic just like we were.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, look at my old team there. Could have been me.
Yeah.
Ask Tim Thomas about my wife. Still that still makes me laugh. Did you see the award show?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh man, Tim Thomas making a crack about his wife is like, oh, I wonder what's gonna happen. Ooh, seems
like maybe a little something there.
Well, James. You know, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. It's I think fairly good overview of, you know.
Yeah, we touched on a lot of different things.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. James O'Brien, your blog, Cycle Like the Sedins.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Cycle Like the why did you make a tongue twister as a?
You know, I wanted to take the off, but you know.
Yeah, don't do that. at CycleLikeTheSedins.com, mm-hmm. and you took the off of your Twitter, which
that's
is
correct.
Cycle Like Sedins.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Anything else coming up? Anything interesting blog wise or?
I got a couple features sort of in the back of my mind. I guess I could talk about them really quick.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with something I did last year. It was called Hockey Orphan, and basically the feature was having a team writer write why a new fan should root for their team.
Yeah.
Well, I thought of subverting that this time, and I'll probably send some emails out soon about it, but calling it Evil Twin and having it instead of being Hockey Orphan, like for the team, getting some of the more irreverent bloggers to write why Team X, you shouldn't be a fan of their team.
Oh.
So who knows, maybe get some of the more rebel-rousing blogs to bash their, you know, their least favorite teams. Could be a lot of fun. So I'm going to get that one going, but yeah. I think that should be a lot of fun.
Cool. Cool.
So you're welcome to write about the Red Wings if you like.
I'll probably take a pass. That isn't really my style.
Vitriol
as much.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I'm very sensitive, and then people bash me, and then I take it personally. Yeah,
I'd have to get a lot of the guys that like fights. Maybe Abel to Iserman will want to write something.
Yeah, that'd probably be a good choice. Well, cool. James, thanks a lot for doing this.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks a lot for listening to The Rink. You can find The Rink at www.rinkpodcast.com. You can call the show at 845-704-RINK. That's 845-704-7465. You can email us at rink@rinkpodcast.com. And you can find our Twitter feed at twitter.com/rinkpodcast. As always, thanks a lot for listening to The Rink.